Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1, from the verse number 9 to the verse number 17.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
I do not know how long a time elapsed since the conversion of Epaphras until he met the Apostle Paul at the time of writing the Epistle to the Colossians. I believe it must have been a wonderful experience for the Apostle Paul to see the genuine conversion in the heart and post-conversion genuine Christian life in Epaphras, in his experience, and in Paul's experience observing the life of Epaphras. And now, upon meeting the Apostle Paul after a certain period of time, this brother Epaphras has another wonderful news to share with the apostle. Not only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the powerful spirit of the Savior is working in the heart and life of Epaphras, but also in the hearts and lives of those that believe the gospel that Epaphras preached. Obviously, is the same gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Apostle Paul preached. Now, this brother that believed through the preaching of the Apostle Paul is preaching to the others, and they get converted, and the same testimony of genuine conversion is obvious in their lives. In the verses 3 and 4 I read, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints." In the verse number 8 again, "He, Epaphras, declared unto us your love in the Spirit." The love of the Spirit is that kind of love that loves everything that is in the Spirit of Christ the Savior. Everything that the Spirit of Christ is creating, developing, prospering, sustaining, the wonderful fruits of the Spirit, genuine Christian life, day after day. In the verse number 9, Paul is saying, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." It sounds to me like since the moment the Apostle Paul heard this wonderful news, genuine conversion of the Colossians, that in his heart the same Spirit is shouting, "Oh, blessed be the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do it, Lord. Keep doing it, Lord. Bless thy people and multiply the fruits of thy Spirit." In this apostolic prayer, there is a clear desire, a petition to the Heavenly Father, that these new converts, new brothers and sisters in Christ, might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. They were blessed with a sincere faith, true believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Lord blessed them with sincere and fervent love for all the other believers and I believe, especially for those that preached the gospel to them and showed them the true example of faithfulness and zeal for the Lord. In the verse number 5, we can see that the believers at Colossae were informed by their preacher, the brother Epaphras, of the magnificent, splendid perspective that the Lord has created for all those that trust and obey Him. And they were filled with that living hope, with the expectation that all the promises will be fulfilled, and the promises of the Lord were being fulfilled in their life, in their growth, in their new life in Christ Jesus. After their conversion, as they were listening to the preaching, admonishment, encouragement of this brother Epaphras, they realized that the Word of God is truth, the gospel is the fact, and the salvation is real. They have been delivered from their former way of living in darkness. In their new life, they experienced the fruits of the Spirit, as we see in the verse number 6. So their knowledge of the grace of God has become a genuine experience. And now the Apostle Paul, with the other brothers and sisters around him, is praying that the Lord will continue blessing the Colossians. And the next thing, the next step, the next fruit of the Spirit, the knowledge of God's will, the spiritual discernment. The prayer of the apostle is that the Lord would grant and grace these believers with the wisdom from above, and in that wisdom to fill them with spiritual understanding. Let me read this verse number 9 again. For this cause we also, since the day we heard this, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In this one verse, we have knowledge to be filled with, and then the will of the Lord, and then wisdom and spiritual understanding. When I see so much concentrated in one verse, I wonder if I see more than a tiny percentage of all of that. Listen for a moment to the reading of Revelation chapter 4.
After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were 4 beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, and were created.
I have only two eyes, and the two eyes that I have do not always see identically the things around me. These marvelous four beings on the throne, around the throne, that John has seen in the Revelation, they're full of eyes. What do they see? In the past, in the present, in the future, all that they see is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." I think that is the knowledge of God, genuine knowledge of God. That is that wisdom from above, the wisdom in the Spirit of Christ. Now listen for a moment to the reading of Matthew, Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 11, from the verse number 16, a few verses. Our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about some earthly wisdom, the wisdom of unbelievers, the wisdom of sinners, carnal men.
"But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, 'We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children.'"
We have a very similar passage in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 7, from the verse number 31. In the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12, in the verse number 3, Paul is saying, "I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." So, in this verse number 9, Colossians chapter 1, what could that be, being filled with the knowledge of God's will? I believe that many brothers and sisters, according to the abundance of knowledge and understanding given to them by the Spirit of the Lord, could give an answer much better than mine. However, to say something in a few words, which is not my greatest gift, if any, to be filled with the knowledge of God's will could mean one thing: filled with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, living that gospel in our everyday walk, knowing the will of God in all wisdom, justifying wisdom, as the Lord said in the gospel, means acknowledging the wisdom and obeying that wisdom, living the gospel from day to day. What could then be that spiritual understanding, wisdom and spiritual understanding? I think wisdom is obeying the word of God, following the Lord, even and especially when we do not see the direction far ahead, when we don't see the future. We just trust Him and follow Him and just pray that He would hold our hand in His. And that spiritual understanding is what the marvelous beings around the throne of our Lord are seeing, that in everything the Lord is holy, holy, holy. Since eternity, throughout eternity, forever He is holy. And when I do not see the future, He does. When I do not understand every word of the gospel, He does. And even when I in my weakness wonder what is going to be the end of this present situation, the Lord Himself knows that everything will work for good to those that trust and obey His will. In the verse number 10 I read, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." The prayer of the Apostle Paul for the disciples at Colossae is continuing in the verse number 10. "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. When we have full confidence in the goodness and might of our Lord and Savior and our Heavenly Father. When we are experiencing the power of the Lord's Spirit working in our hearts and our daily walk. Then we are not going only to talk. Oh yes, we are going to talk, but not only to talk about the goodness and grace of God and His mighty work. We are going to talk and to walk in the light of the Word of God. In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 and 38, the Lord is speaking, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Now here in Colossians chapter 1 verse 10, Paul is praying for the Colossians and for us today as well, that we all might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Take up the cross, deny everything, and let the Lord be most, foremost, ahead of everything, above everything, our all in all, our reason for living and laboring, that in everything we please Him. That Gentile belief of some Christians that the things that are not expressly commanded or forbidden in the Scripture are left to our human understanding, whatever we choose to do as it is pleasing us, is absolutely wrong. In everything we seek and search what is pleasing the Lord. In everything we should accept the Lord's will, and pleasing Him in everything, we give a testimony worthy of His calling. We prove to the world around us and even to our own heart and mind that the Lord, our Savior, our Master, is worthy of our living and dying for. Only that way we can be fruitful in every good work. And if we keep on doing that, we are going to increase in the knowledge of God. When we strive to serve the Lord, then we discover how much more we need of His grace. When we exercise the spiritual gifts given to us by the grace of God, we realize how many more spiritual gifts we need to be pleasing the Lord in everything. And when we strive to do the will of the Lord in everything, we receive new strength. When we labor to do the will of the Lord with our whole might, we realize it is His might working in us and through us. And when we see that He is using these feeble vessels that we are, these tiny, fragile instruments of His goodness and His will, what can we see and understand other than it is the glorious power of our Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, that's such a blessed life in the Spirit of the Lord. We become alike to the holy apostles, the first disciples, and we receive the blessings of patience and long sufferings just as they did. And when they were publicly beaten, the apostles Peter and John departed from that crowd of wicked evildoers, murderers. The apostles departed rejoicing that they were worthy of suffering shame for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now in the verse 11, that's the continuation of Paul's prayer for the blessings upon the Colossians. And it should be our prayer for the blessings of the Lord upon our generation today. In the verse number 12, the prayer of Paul is becoming the praise of Paul. giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Paul is praying for the Colossians, and now Paul is praising the Lord for the Colossians. And the Apostle Paul in this verse number 12 is apparently embracing the Colossian believers. And together with them he says, "We are giving thanks unto the Father. The Father hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Us, the apostles, and us, the Colossians, all together, and us today. The inheritance of the saints in light. It looks like the saints in the heavenly kingdom already. The everlasting light, the glory and the bliss of God's presence. But not only that. In the verse number 13, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." And that bliss and glory of the Lord's presence is right here and right now for all those that are in Christ Jesus. In the dear Son of God, we have redemption through His blood, the blood of His sacrifice, the sacrifice of atonement, the ransom for our souls. He suffered the judgment on the behalf of those that will ever trust and obey Him, that we may go free and become the slaves of His everlasting life, that we may vanish away and He, and He alone, live and rule in our soul, in our heart and mind. That is the way He forgives sins. He paid for our sins. The justice of God did not say, "From now on, forget about their sins as if they never happened." It's an offense to the name, dignity, and honor of the Almighty God, every sin of ours. He suffered the judgment that we may be free in Him, our Savior. That is the way we got forgiven. In the verse number 15, the praise is continuing. Christ is the image of the invisible God. An awful, dreadful revelation. God the Father, the Almighty Lord of Lords, suffered the agony of His own judgment when He judged our sins in His beloved Son, Jesus Christ the Savior. In order to understand the second part or second half of the verse number 15, I would have to read verses 15, 16, and 17 together as one verse. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. When we read in the verse 15 that Christ is the firstborn of every creature, to a limited extent, in a limited meaning, as all the heirs of a patriarch are subject to the firstborn of that patriarch, who is going to be the next patriarch. So the whole creation is subject to Christ, the Son of God. Christ has been the Son of God before the creation started. In the beginning God created heaven and earth. And before that, the Father and the Son were one. Unbroken, perfect unity of the Godhead with that excelling glory forever and ever. Everything has been created by Him. The whole universe, visible and invisible, physical and spiritual, all that we understand and much more that we don't, the glory of the most glorious would not be glory at all if it were not in Christ. The power and authority of the most powerful would not be power at all if it was not the power of Christ working in them. All the faithful ones since the beginning, starting with Abel the righteous, until the last one that will enter into the grace and salvation of our God, all of them are faithful only because He is faithful. And all the faithful ones are faithful to Him. They live, and here in this earth they died for Him. He is ahead of all of us. He is above all of us. In heaven and in earth and in all of the universe, there is no greater and higher power than the power of Christ the Son of God. All the power is given to Him in heaven and in earth. Who gave it to Him? The Father. Who glorified the Father the most? The Son. As the Father Himself testified, in Him I am perfectly pleased. And now, all of that glory, all of that beauty, all of that blissful throng of the Holy Spirits and angels and archangels and the redeemed ones, all together, by Him, Christ, the Almighty God, all of us and all of the creation is sustained, existing by His power. This brilliant praise to the Almighty God, our Savior, continues on few more verses. Like a flash of that heavenly light of His revelation, may the Lord bless His word, and may the brightness of His revelation remain in our hearts until we meet again.